Well, hello and welcome. My name is DeCourcy Williams, and this is the Uplifting Words Podcast. And I want to thank each and every one of you guys listening to the sound of my voice, and I wish you all peace, love, and happiness. How is everybody doing? How is your week going so far? Hope you're having a productive week. I hope what's going on with folks is that you're using this time productively. And I've said from the beginning of the pandemic that we're still going through, even though it seems we're coming through the other side of this thing. But I hope that people are using this opportunity to build themselves up, to invest in themselves, maybe invest in some real estate or something. I mean, just do something. I was having a conversation with my daughter the other day, and I think I've come to the realization that I am like anti-job. Like, I am so far into the entrepreneurial spirit and ideas and new people coming up with new things. Like the whole tying yourself down to a job and having to go to that, it feels like a waste to me now, unfortunately. I don't know. Anybody else feel like that? It feels like the time that you spend at a job could be used doing anything else. Anything better than being at the job. And I'm talking about maybe if you like teaching, you put a course up on Teachable or Udemy, or if you like whatever it is that you like, you make a YouTube channel about that and you go out and you do it. Even if it's playing video games. I mean, there's people out here making videos about playing like Animal Crossing. I say Animal Crossing because that's kind of like my new obsession right now. But they're making like tips and tricks videos on Animal Crossing and getting, you know, when you get your subscribers, you get your advertisement revenue, you get revenue from YouTube, and, you know, that could lead into other things. But anyway, I just hope people are using this time productively and not, you know, being in the same spot that you were in before this pandemic, before it struck. So, having a conversation with my daughter the other day, and she expressed that she wants to, you know, go outside the country and teach in different countries. And I was like, fine, yeah, do that. But also, maybe you can make up a course, go on Udemy or go on Teachable, put your stuff up there, have that be like a little side income, and, you know, go from there. I don't know. I think I've just... Because I feel like I've worked so long and it really hasn't gotten me the life that I wanted working for other people. Like, I'm so looking forward to doing, you know, my own thing and ready for it to take off or ready for something to take off. So, you know, I don't know. Anybody else feel like that? Is that on anybody else's mind? Also, in other news, the sports world is trying to get ramped back up. I am not even sure how this basketball season is going to go with this bubble. Like what are they doing? Or is it just like a couple of teams that are in this bubble or whatever, this bubble thing that it's called, and they're just going to be allowed to play it out? Or people are like pulling themselves out of their respective sports. Like, you know, there's teammates in the NFL and basketball and baseball, and they're like, you know what, I'm going to chill out this season. I'm not going to play. I'm not going to put my family at risk. I'm not going to put myself at risk. Because, you know, it's like people are getting this virus and nobody is reacting the same way to the virus. People that survive the virus, they've got like these long-term effects that's happening. Like, they've got like neurological effects and maybe shortness of breath. People talking about they're dizzy all the time. Some people, they can't like see properly, like their vision is blurry. I mean, this thing is like serious. And it just seems like we still got 1,000+ deaths per day because of the virus. So, man, I mean, this thing is like, it is just crazy just how much our world, our lives have changed. The sports world is really trying to adapt to it, really trying to get things going on again. And I'm curious to see how it's going to play out, to be honest. You know, basketball is my sport of choice. I used to watch basketball back in the day. I would like to get back into it, though. you know, I watched like in the Jordan era and Kobe and Shaq era. Haven't really watched too much. But I tell you one thing, though. My interest is beginning to peak in sports cards. I've been, of course, I've been watching Gary Vee. And I back when I was young, I collected sports cards. Like, I've got probably thousands of basketball cards that I had in my parents' house. And my father just kind of shipped them to me. Because I guess he wanted all that mess out of his house. But, man, I've got, like, books and books and shoeboxes and... Like, you should see all the stuff that I've picked up, that I've gotten from my parents' house. But it's old basketball cards. And I think my oldest basketball card I have is, like, a Michael Jordan second year card. I've got, like, Shaq rookie cards. Anybody remember, like, Alonzo Mourning and Larry Johnson? Like, I've got their rookie cards. I mean, I don't know if they're worth anything. I haven't done the research to see if they're worth anything. But, man, I've got a lot of... And they're all basketball cards. Like, I didn't deviate. I didn't go, like, into baseball and football or anything like that. But there seems to be an uptick in interest of basketball cards. You can go on eBay and you find this player, Luka Doncic. Like, some of his basketball cards are going for $5,000 each. You've got, of course, Zion Williamson. Some of his cards are up there. I think people are just waiting to see how the season's going to play out. But there's a definite interest in, like, flipping sports cards now, more so than when I was younger. So, something else I'm going to look into, I mean, you know, you never know, I might have an absolute gem on my hands. Back then, like I said, I was all into the Bulls, so I've got, like, a notebook. You know how you got, like, the little sports card slots. And you've got, like, the big three-ring binder notebook. Well, I have one of those, and they're full of nothing but Chicago Bulls cards. And everybody from Jordan to Pippen to B.J. Armstrong to Rodney McRae to, his name is Trent. I can't remember his last name, but it was a Trent something. A whole bunch of players that people probably have never even heard of before, they don't remember. But it was, like, Chicago Bulls players from back in 92 and 93. You know, your Bill Cartwrights, your Horace Grants, your John Paxsons, you know, people like that. And then it's just so many. So I'm going to take some time and go through those, see if I got any hidden gems, and, maybe I'll, you know, buy some newer cards, see if I can't get lucky and get, like, Luka Doncic or, what's his name? Trey Young, I think his name is, you know, people like the Newscats players. So, but it's going to be interesting to see how our sports seasons play out, because not only are we getting back into our sports seasons, but the heat that was supposed to eradicate this coronavirus, it hasn't worked. Like, in the summer, we've seen these record temperatures, but we still see cases increasing. So I'm just wondering, when it starts to get colder, when it's naturally that time for people to start getting sick, I wonder how that's going to, like, impact everything. We've got some school districts that are opening back up, and a couple of them have had to shut down after the first day because, you know, X amount of people have tested positive for coronavirus that first day. And there was that student at that one school that took a picture of the crowded hallway, and it was like two people had on masks. And granted, it was like that time where you're going from one class to the other. So, like, everybody in the school has like 5 minutes to go from one classroom to, like, another classroom. And, you know, everybody kind of congregates. They might be talking or whatever. But it was a whole bunch of high school kids. They didn't have a mask on. They weren't social distancing because, you know, you can't. It's impossible to social distance when you're going from, like, your third period biology class to, like, your fourth period history class, for people that can remember those days in high school. And then that student that took that picture and shared it to social media, she got suspended. So, I mean, are we trying to silence the truth? Are we hiding from the truth? I don't know. It's just so much going on. Like, it's unreal. Like, my mind is blown every day that I wake up. But I try to use this opportunity to, you know, build myself up. You know, I'm really into repairing my credit right now. And I am in negotiations to buy a couple of assets. And what I'm learning is that people that want to get a leg up on this thing, the money that you're making now, or the money if you were getting unemployment or anything like that, use that money to buy like an asset, something small that'll continue to spit you out money. Use your money that you're working for to buy assets and not just to pay bills. Definitely one of the things that I learned from people that are like super well off, the way that they spend their money is different. They don't spend their money on hair bags and getting nails done or getting haircuts or buying new cars or, you know, things to floss with. They use their money to buy assets. So that's what I'm looking at. And I'm really hoping that everybody takes this opportunity to do the same thing. You know, when this pandemic first started, like everything kind of shut down to nothing. And there were a lot of people that were super scared. Anxiety was high. People didn't know what they were going to do. Everybody thought that we were all going to be wiped out. And, you know, people were talking about like the murder hornet and on top of coronavirus. And, you know, I mean, it was just a lot of things going on. Now that things have kind of tapered off, we still have 160,000 plus deaths in this country, though, by the way. And side note, the president has taken his time to sign an executive order to ban TikTok, of all things. Like, I can't even express how upset I am about that. Like you are the leader of the free world. You have a pandemic that's raging out of control. There is 160,000 plus people that have died in this country from this virus. And your executive order, your focus is banning TikTok because you think that the Chinese government, which owns TikTok, is spying on us. Well, are we trading one spying country for another? Because in the executive order that he signs, that TikTok needs to be sold to an American company within like 45 days or whatever in order to remain in existence, or else they're not going to be able to operate in this country. And of course he cites, security concerns and things like that. But Facebook, Google, Snapchat, like all of the other social medias, they're spying on us also. So we trading the Chinese government spying on us for the American government that has been spying on us for years? I think they have. All of that information that Google has comprised on us, I mean, is it better to have Google to have all that information or the U.S. government? Like, that's you want to talk about a worst of two evils situation. And we all know what how the deal works. Like, you've seen your advertisements on Facebook. Those ads are catered to things that you talk about or things that you've looked up already or things that you've seen or maybe taken a picture of. Like, those, that's where your ads that are coming up on Google and Facebook are coming from, unless you're searching for something specific. So they're spying on us, whether we want to acknowledge it or not. So to me, that's no different than, and even there is no evidence that TikTok is spying on us, by the way. So let's go ahead and throw that out there. But to me, that's no different than them spying on us. And the fact that people think that we're being spied on, like your trip to Starbucks and then going to Burger King and then coming home to watch Netflix for 5 hours, like that's not a major point of concern for the U.S. government. Like people are thinking that they're spying on us, but like what are you really doing that everybody is not doing? Like, if that makes sense. Like, we're all kind of doing the same thing. We got our routines. We go to work. We go get lattes from Starbucks or Dunkin' Donuts or whatever. We might go get some fast food. We might go out to a restaurant. Like, our entire lives are already being recorded. So, like, I don't understand what the big deal is with TikTok. But, I mean, we've got some real issues going on here. And I don't think the president's main area of focus should be to ban a social media network, which incidentally, funny enough, the same network was used to kind of make his rally look a little foolish. So I think that's the real heart of the issue. Like, he really targeted TikTok because the people that caused that one rally that he had recently to, it looked like it was going to be like a sold out, full packed event. But then when the event happened, like nobody showed up because people kind of got together on TikTok and ordered the tickets and then didn't come. So, and it was a bunch of children, a bunch of kids, young people, by the way. I'm not going to say children. But anyway, let me take a quick break talking about how people are coming on the other side of this pandemic and how we can thrive on the other side of this. And that's what I want to talk about today on the podcast. So let me take a quick break and I'll be right back. All right, well, welcome back. Thank you very much for sticking with me. And we're talking about after the pandemic and how we can continue to move on after getting through something like this. Now, none of us know when this is going to be quote unquote over. It might never be over. We might have to deal with this. It might just be integrated into the way we live. Like, we might just have to learn how to deal with this every day. But I would like for people to not give in to their fears, not give in to their anxieties, and definitely, like, not give in to the conspiracy theories. Like, you got to realize that there are certain things that you have control over. There are things that you do not have control over. And basically yelling and screaming about the things that you don't have control over is not doing anybody any good, especially you. What I would suggest is the only thing to focus on is what you have control over and how you and yours can come out better on the other side of this. Now, it's strange to me, though, to hear people talking about numbers and percentages when it comes to coronavirus infections and deaths and things like that. So 160,000 people have died in this country. And, you know, people might say that's some percentage of the American population, or the mortality rate is only 0.1 or 0.2%. Look, those 160,000 people that have died, that is not a number. Those are people that had family. They had friends. They had jobs. They had dreams. They had aspirations. They had things that they wanted to get done on this planet. And this virus has taken them out. So no matter where you fall on the mass thing and whether or not this thing is like real or a conspiracy or a hoax or things, like, people have died for real. And those people had brothers, mothers, sisters, cousins, aunts, uncles, family members, friends, and they are no longer here. So I don't want people to give in to their fears about the coronavirus, but I also want people to be real about it. There are real people dying. It's not just numbers. So if you are blessed enough to still be here and still continuing to thrive, then your mindset needs to change to a thrive mindset and not just a survival mindset, not just getting by mindset. Now is the perfect time to step out on faith and do that thing that you've always wanted to do. Learn that skill that you've always wanted to learn. Invest in yourself. Mentally, physically, maybe even financially. Like I said, I'm getting credit in order for my own self, for my family. I'm looking at investing in real estate. There's just so many things that are going on that you could also be doing. Getting that book written, you know, starting up that YouTube channel, throwing yourself out there on Instagram, or throwing yourself out there on TikTok. Let me tell you, maybe with the news, with what Donald Trump is doing, it might be the best time to actually get on TikTok and start posting. With the fact of just him mentioning canceling it, I think that's going to draw more eyes to it. People are going to be more curious about it because they're going to want to know, what is the Chinese government getting from us? And, like, literally, I don't even know how they, what are they spying on? Like, people talking about their businesses, younger people dance routines. You know, it's just another social media outlet for people to share their lives or share pictures or share little quirky videos. I mean, I don't know how much how much snooping can be done by a government on that, and what type of interesting information are they going to get from it anyway. So anyway, now might be the perfect time to actually look at starting up on TikTok, just because Donald Trump said something about canceling it. Microsoft is in talks to possibly buy it. You know, you never know how it's going to go. But the people that have been established on TikTok, hopefully they didn't waste this time. Hopefully they use their influence. Like, if they've built up a sizable following, hopefully they use that to cross over to, like, maybe Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and, you know, all the other social platforms, so that if TikTok does go down, they're not losing that much because their following is also with them on different platforms. But I mean, there are going to be people, just like in everything, there's going to be people that's going to lose out. There's going to be people that's going to win. And I want people that listen to this podcast to come out winning. So aside from TikTok going down, I mean, what else could you be doing? I mean, there's people that have YouTube channels about refurbishing old guitars and how to build a guitar out. I mean, there's anything that you have an interest in. If you have an interest in it, I guarantee you can find somebody else that has that same interest. You can put your knowledge out there, your expertise. You could become the expert in whatever that is. And, you know, just go for it, man. Like, it's like, now is the time to go for it, no matter what your age is, no matter what your experience is. Like, the time is now to do it. I mean, like, maybe it's just me, but when you get to a certain age and you start to realize that you have more days behind you than days that are in front of you, it starts to become more urgent to want to do more things. And that's why I have this anti-job idea now, because that's designed to just keep you in a place, in a specific place. You know, a lot of jobs, like, you have to ask when you can go take a bathroom break. You have to ask when you have a day off. You can ask, you need to ask when if you can have a vacation. A lot of jobs, like, you can't even be sick. Like, you have to show up sick, which is ridiculous, especially during this pandemic that's going on. But I mean, you've got some people, there's no sick leave. There's no paid sick time off. So no matter how they're feeling, people have to show up to work. And all of those things kind of contribute to me, like, not liking the whole clinging to, like, a job aspect. I'm from a generation where that's what we were told, though. We were told to go to school, get the good grades so you can get to the good college, so you can get the job and work for 40 years and retire. And then that's when you can live life, like, in your 60s. But this generation, these people that are coming up now, they're not living by that. They are going after what they want now. And some people are thriving through this pandemic. They're still doing that thing. And unfortunately, some other people are kind of allowing their fears and their anxieties to take over. And they're, like, not taking that step. So the most important thing, I was reading something that was very interesting. When you go to the mall and say there's a store in particular that you are looking for, the first thing that you want to do when you go into that mall is look for the directory, right? And you go looking for the directory, and you're looking for, let's just say you're looking for Foot Locker, and you have no idea where the Foot Locker is in this mall, and you go to the directory and you find Foot Locker. The next most important thing to do, which is crucial, is to look for that red dot that says you are here. And I want to start with that. I want to start with assessing where you are in your life, assessing, like, your strengths, assessing maybe things that you might want to work on, assessing, you know, your financial situation, maybe your, like, relationships or people that you surround yourself with. Like, you want to find where you are before you can even begin to think about how to get to that particular store or that area. You need to find out where you are, what you want, and then you can start to devise a plan on how to get there. Like, what vehicle are you going to use? I mean, if you go back to the mall analogy, like, you're walking. But when you come to a fork or a crossways in the mall hallway, you're trying to figure out the quickest way to get to that particular store. Do you go left to go through the food court, or do you go to the right and walk around like the jewelry stores and go through the Macy's or whatever? Y'all know what I'm talking about. You have to plot your course. And you have to choose the vehicle that you're going to use to get there. Now, talking in aspects of your goals and your dreams, your vehicle might be how you're going to fund that, where you're going to get the money, or where you're going to get the finances to get to where you want to go. Because unfortunately, we live in a society where you need money to get to basically anything. Anything that you're willing, that you want to go after, you need funding. Like I always say, you need money to fund the dream. So that might entail working that job. That might entail picking up that side hustle, doing that DoorDash, doing that Instacart, doing the side hustle of selling your services as a graphic designer on, I can't even remember, on Fiverr. I forgot the name of the site for a second. On a site like Fiverr, anything like that. What's the vehicle that you're going to use to get there? Some people use real estate. Some people use stock investing. Some people are day trading. The things to build up your capital to get to where you want to go. Now, on your way there, you are going to have to find some like-minded people or your tribe or your people that are going kind of the same direction that you're going, because you're not going to be able to get there by yourself. I've said before, I do not believe in the concept of a self-made anything, because we all need help. We all need, even if somebody just gives us information, if somebody gives us maybe an easier path, maybe if somebody opens up a door for us that wouldn't normally be open for us if we try to go at it on our own. So you need to get people that you surround yourself with that's going in the same direction. Your network determines your net worth. Heard that a lot from people that I've studied and people that I listen to on a daily basis. And so then after you get all of that done and you got your place that you're going, the one thing you need to do is you need to do it again, because success is not a destination. Like, you don't ever just wake up one day and like, I'm here, I've arrived, I don't need to do anything else. That is not part of the human condition. We grow stagnant. The success that we have built up will wither and die away if we just get to a destination and we just stop. I believe that it's in our nature to keep going, to keep thriving, to keep reaching for different things, new heights, different goals, and setting a different achievements up for ourselves. Like, that builds up our that also builds up our confidence. That gives us the courage to continue to take those steps to new and different areas, which is another reason why I believe I'm like anti-job. A job doesn't encourage you to do that. A job just encourages you to just come there, do your work, and that's it, and stay in that little bubble. We were never designed for that. That's not why we are here. So anyway. That's what I want to talk to you guys about today. That's what I have. I want to encourage everybody to take those steps. So, number one, determine where you are. Determine your strengths, your abilities, maybe your weaknesses, maybe who you're rolling with, who you're talking to, where you're getting your information from. And then pick your vehicle of how you're going to get to where you're going and plot your course. Now, that doesn't mean that the course isn't going to change as you're going through it. You also have to be flexible enough to be able to bob and weave and go with the flow sometimes. Because, like I said, there are some things that might be out of your control, and there's no need to worry about those things because you're not going to be able to control it. Just control what you can control and keep going in your particular direction. So get your course plotted. And after that, reassess who you're hanging around, where you're getting your information from, building your tribe, getting around those people that are going kind of like-minded, that are going in the same direction that you're going, building up your network. And then the last part of that is realizing that when you get what it is that you want, you want to have your next goal, your next achievement lined up so you can just go immediately after that. You want to continue to have beasts to conquer, is what I'll call it. Because that complacency of, like, when you believe you get there, when you arrive, you start to get complacent, you start to get stagnant, and that leads to decline, I believe. I believe we were built to continue to thrive and continue to reach. So that's what I have for you guys. I want to encourage everybody to just do that thing. Now is the time to do that thing. Whatever your thing is, whatever vehicle you use, whatever social media platform that you want to get on and, you know, throw yourself out there. Now is the time to do it. I mean, there's always been the time. If you're just now starting and you've been looking at doing something for years, like, you missed out on some time, yes, but you can still get it done. You can still jump in there. You can still do it. And I want to encourage you, because you have what it takes in you to do it, because you can do it. I'll leave it there. But yeah, everybody, man, this is a wonderful time that we're living in. It is a horribly scary time to live in. But if you're not on the other side of life, you still have the opportunity to reach for your greatness. So go after it and get it. It's right there in front of you. So on that, I'll leave it. I want to encourage you guys, don't forget, follow me on Instagram at Corsi the Wine Lover. Don't forget, visit my blog site, Corsi's Online Treasures, or Corsi's Corner of Online Treasures. I'm sorry, how did I forget the name of my own blog site? I talk about wine, talk about coffee, talk about blockchain. I talk about how you can be a Bitcoin miner. You know, I got all kinds of stuff up there. But yeah, Facebook, Twitter, I'm on Instagram. You can find me in all of those places. Find me on my blog. And I thank you guys for listening to me on this podcast. So with that, I will take my leave, and I'll see you guys in the next one.